Again, dear Lord, we come before you in prayer, and I thank you so much for the service. I thank you so much for this day. Now, I pray that the things I speak would be your things, and good things, and true things. And that people's hearts and ears will be opened, and that your truth can be told today. In Christ's name, amen. I want to start off this morning by asking a question. I'm going to need a response out of this one, so raised hands. How many of you so far this week have faced temptation? Temptation. How many of you have faced temptation so far this morning? As husbands, we face temptations. As wives, we face temptations. We face temptations as sons and daughters all the time. We face temptations at work all the time. Whether we are the boss or getting bossed or both. We face temptations when we're alone. And sometimes these temptations are the toughest ones to conquer and get past. We face temptations even when we don't even know we're facing temptation. We're starting a new series called, it's about the armor of God. We're going to talk about overcoming temptation. We're also going to talk about being victorious against the attacks of the enemy. And when I say enemy, I do mean Satan and his demons. And everything in this world that Satan has kicked off with sin way back in the beginning at the Garden of Eden. We're also going to talk a little bit about spiritual renewal. That's a word that you probably haven't heard me talk about before, but spiritual renewal. How many people know what spiritual renewal is? Spiritual renewal is getting off that hamster wheel of your own faith. Sometimes you just run and run and run and run as hard as you can, and you just don't seem like you're getting anywhere. You don't seem like you're making very much progress. Renewal is when, by God's grace, we make progress. How many people want some spiritual renewal in their lives? We just celebrated Easter. Easter's all about spiritual renewal. And the story of Easter is basically this, that Jesus Christ reconciled us to God the Father. He died in our place. He faced the wrath of God so we don't have to, fulfilling the plan that God first prophesied way back in Genesis. And God's plan is all about His love for us. I want you to remember that. So He provided Jesus Christ. So at Easter time, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, Him coming back to life. We also remember the cross. We remember everything that Jesus went through, being nailed to that cross. Because what Jesus did at the cross and in raising again is He provides us with peace. Now, I'm not just talking about peace as in that contented and sufficient feeling of assurance in our daily lives, but also peace through Christ in that we are no longer at war with God. Because before we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are at war with God. It's either for Him or against Him. There's no in between. But through Jesus Christ, Jesus provides peace for us as we become God's children, as we become citizens of God's nation. We are the beneficiaries of Easter, and we receive peace through Jesus. That's what Scripture says, peace. So that's what Jesus Christ Himself says. When you get Jesus, you get peace. So how many of you have met Jesus? How many of you have that peace that we so look for? Some. How many of you have it all the time? Every single moment. Every single day. How many of you have worries? How many of you have struggles? Frustration. Anxiety. Hands keep going up. How many of you ever get depressed? That's kind of strange, isn't it? Because I get all those things too. I know Jesus. And He brings peace. He brings that assurance. And He brings that being back on God's team. But we still deal with all these things. How come my life doesn't have that peace all the time? I want to tell you something this morning. Is that the enemy comes against us. This world comes against us. To screw things up and make things even tougher for us, more frustrating for us, and more anxious for us. The Scripture does teach that Christians, that believers, can come under grievous and terrible attack. We talked at the beginning of the year about Job. It was in God's will, but Satan came against Job in terrible, terrible ways. We talked about Jesus Christ himself facing temptation in the wilderness by Satan. We learn in the Gospels that Satan asks to sift the disciples as wheat. And we know that when sifted, Peter denied Jesus Christ. We know that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh, again, allowed by God. But that thorn in his flesh, you go back and check it out in 2 Corinthians 12:7, that was demonic in origin. We know, too, that we make things on ourselves, by our own decisions, a lot tougher than what they need to be. But it does not help at all that there is an enemy out there and that there is a sinful world out there that tempts us and attacks us more and more and more and more and makes things even harder and harder and harder for us. We have to deal with a terrible enemy. And we know that God, our God, the only God, is a sovereign God. And not a sparrow falls without him knowing it or allowing it. And we know that God has a plan, a personal plan, for each and every single one of you out there. And no matter what Satan or the enemy or this world does to us to thwart that plan of God, God's a whole lot bigger than that and turns it into good. But just like Jesus' disciples, we get sifted sometimes. And in this world, it's just a battle for us to live sometimes. It's a battle for us. Now, honestly, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's a battle for us to even follow Jesus sometimes. It's a battle for us to be loving spouses sometimes. It's a battle for us to be loving and caring friends. It's a battle for us to be loving and caring members of the church. It's a battle for us to be faithful and dutiful to Jesus who saved us. We are in a war. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be. Should have given you a little bit more heads up, but if you've got your Bibles, get into Ephesians chapter 6. This is what he tells us. The scripture will also be on the screen. I'm going to start in chapter 6, verse 10. We are in a war. Paul writes, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." Stand your ground. "And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." See, what Paul has done here, Ephesians is just an absolutely beautiful book. If I had to take one book of the Bible with me onto a deserted island, Ephesians I would take. Because it's got everything. In six chapters, in the first five chapters, in the first couple chapters, chapters 1 and 2, Paul exclaims and explains our redemption through Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 4 and 5, he tells us how important it is for us to live like Jesus. And he talks about being good husbands and being good wives and being good kids and good children. And he tells us about being good bosses and he tells us about being good workers. And then in chapter 6, he gives us this warning. He says, life isn't easy. He says, listen up. You are in a war and the enemy is not a pushover. There are a ton of you out there right now who face stress, anxiety, and temptation in your workplace. And there are some of you out there who face that same or greater stress and anxiety
and temptation even, because you no longer have a workplace to go to. There are some of you out there who find great stress and anxiety in your own marriages. There are some of you who are children out there who find great stress and anxiety and temptation in your families. And parents, it goes doubly for you, because there's some of you out there, no matter how old your kids are, that you're under attack and stress and anxiety and temptation because they're making not good choices. Life isn't easy. Some of you are having issues financially. Some of you are under attack emotionally. Some of you are under attack spiritually. For some of you, there may be powerful enemies in this world. I'm talking about flesh and blood, physical enemies who come against you to make your life miserable. And that's stressful and causes anxiety and leads to temptation as well. Some of you are suffering from boredom or depression or a general ennui. Some of you have health problems. And some of you are dealing with all this stuff together. It's no surprise then that Paul gives us this warning and tells us how to be prepared and how to face the attacks, because all of these things certainly knock us down, knock us back, cause us to surrender. Because we are under attack all the time, whether it's by one of these three things, whether it's by the world, which is out there, whether it's by our own flesh, which lusts after the things of the world, or whether it's actually supernatural in nature. We're under attack. Scripture describes that we get hit by fiery darts all the time. And when this happens, I mean, it sounds very, very simplistic for me to say, but when we get hit by these fiery darts, we get sad, we get mad, we get angry, we get frustrated, we get hurt, we start feeling bitter. We stop following Paul's instructions about how to live a good, solid, faithful Christian life. Sometimes we start gratifying our own needs. Sometimes we turn off. We put up walls in our marriages or in our friendships or in our families. Sometimes we even put up walls and don't let Jesus in. And go off and be by our own and try to deal with things on our own. That's not standing firm. Paul talked about standing firm and standing your ground lots of times in that scripture. And that's not it when we do those things. It is our simple human nature, though, when we rely on ourselves, that we do those things. No matter how we react, if we don't put on the armor of God, every single day, we're going to get hit by these fiery darts. And if we don't put on that armor of God, we're going to go down in flames. Because the simple fact of the matter is that Satan, the prince of the power of the air, who has great authority in this world, wants to destroy you. He is an evil, terrible, awful being. He wants to destroy your marriage and your friendships. He gets off on your pain because he hates you. He wants to drag you down and away from Jesus. Now, I want to take one just moment here and just kind of try to explain this how I understand it. Because we have talked about before how I personally do not believe that Satan himself comes against you. And I personally believe that it is very, very rare in cases for a demon to come against you. I think certainly it does happen. But Satan, it says in Scripture, is the prince of this world. And I believe, and I fully believe that Scripture backs this up, is that this world is a sinful place. And the enemy has put into place snares and traps for us to fall into. And we do. And I'm spending time on this because I want you to think about this. I want you to be aware of this. That's what Paul spends a lot of time in Ephesians chapter 6 telling us, that the enemy is out there and that we have to be aware. He tells us that Satan has a scheme, that Satan has a plan. He wants to distract us and take us away from Christ. Now, I told you before, there's things in this world we can be tempted by that are placed before us that we desire. Like for a mouse, this is really another a simple example, but for a mouse, that cheese in that mouse trap, that mouse is tempted by that cheese. We can also be tempted by our own desires of our body. This is what happens inside of us, whether it's an emotional or a physical desire. If you're that mouse and you see that cheese, it's that yum. That salivating. That cheese would be really, really good. I'd really like to be able to have that. I really, really want that. And then sometimes there is that temptation. That supernatural sort of temptation. That spiritual war. Where it's almost like you hear that little voice in your head that says, go ahead, eat that cheese. It looks really, really good. So that's how Satan would tempt a mouse. But this is something I want you to think about, and I want you to take a second to pause and ponder this. Because Satan's a pretty intelligent being. He's far more smart than I am. And I dare say he's a lot smarter than what you guys are, too. If you were Satan, how would you attack you? Let me say that one more time. If you were the enemy, how would you attack you? What is your weak point? That kind of takes you back, because when I thought about that, I thought, man, I've got a lot of them. And we need to be aware of what our weak point is. So we can apply some more armor to that. It's almost a scary thing to think about. But then Paul gives us this. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk specifically about the armor itself and why Paul chose to use this analogy. We're especially going to talk about that next week. But I want to tell you about the thing that holds all this together. It's the belt of truth. The first thing that's mentioned is the belt of truth. What does a belt do? Yeah, hold your pants up. Funny story. I was running out of shirt this morning. Okay, I was back here. We were running around. And you know how when you're running around, you put stuff together, you're... Especially on my occasion, because my shirt keeps coming untucked because one of my temptations is my plate. Okay? So I was running out of shirt this morning, so I said, okay, I better tuck my shirt back in. I went around to the back, and it was Todd and Uncle Marvin, and it was Skip that was standing there, and I was tucking my shirt in, and I ended my belt and went right to the floor. No joke. I'm standing there talking to Todd. My pants are down there on my ankles. I said, obviously, your belt holds your pants up. And as a soldier, your belt is a place to hang your sword and your other necessary gear. And as you can see on this Roman soldier, his belt protects a very vital area. It covers us up and it provides protection for us. Now the belt that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was talking about here as he looked at the Roman soldiers, who he was very well acquainted with because he wrote Ephesians while he was in jail. He was being guarded by the Praetorian Guard, Roman soldiers, dressed in full regalia. The belt that Paul was describing here in Scripture had very heavy strips of leather, and it was studded, so it offered lots of protection. And a soldier had to have confidence in his belt because he didn't want to go into battle with his pants down. That would not be good. Not only does that belt protect that very sensitive region, but it also protects your femoral arteries. I'm talking in a very real sense right now. That if that soldier, a Roman soldier, was going to be attacked, there are certain places where the enemy is going to try to strike him with a spear or a sword. Obviously, his neck, under his armpit, he wants to get to his heart. But also here in your femoral artery. If you get hit with a sword or a bullet in your femoral artery, you are going to bleed out very, very, very fast. It protects a very, very sensitive region on your body. You have to be confident as you put on the belt of truth that it's going to protect you and it's going to hold everything together. We need to be confident in the truth because the truth is what holds everything together. Let me tell you what this is. And how do we put it on? Every morning we have to put this on, the belt of truth. The truth is, and this is why I had Justin come up, the truth that holds everything together is that a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, and God sent His very Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. The truth is that your sins are forgiven. The devil is a slanderer and accuser, and one of his favorite attacks is to come to you and say, God can't forgive that sin. You are worthless and you continually sin and you continually fall. God does not love you. He is not going to forgive your sin. That is an attack that he continually uses. And it's a very, very powerful attack. But the truth is that a believer in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ as a sacrifice was sufficient for all. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what it is or how evil it is, if you have repented and love the Lord your God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if the Holy Spirit has come in, and if you are changed, you are secure. The truth is that Jesus died for you, and he loved you even before you knew him. The truth is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not sin, not Satan, not me, not you, not height, nor depth, nor powers. Nothing can separate you from the love. And that's the truth. I mean, that's a simple, easy truth. That's the foundation building block truth that holds everything together. It's what Paul described in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. It's what the Old Testament patriarchs and prophets prophesied in the Old Testament. It's what the gospel writers wrote. It's what the epistle writers wrote. It's what's written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we need to be aware of that truth every single day. So how do we be aware of that every single day? How do we do this? Again, this feels like a Sunday school lesson because it is so, so simple. You got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. That's the truth. You gotta read your Bible. You gotta stand firm for your devotional. And I'm telling you, reading is good, but understanding is better. You gotta read a Bible. You gotta get a good translation. You gotta get a good devotional. You gotta get a good Bible with great study notes in it. You gotta read together with somebody else. Read together with your wife or your husband or with your kids. You gotta understand what Scripture says. Again, Paul describes in 2 Timothy that it's work. It's work to read your Bible, but we are workmen, and we want to be approved. And we need to know Scripture so we're not blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine or by false teachers. We got to know the truth. And you say, oh, reading the Bible is so tough. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. Well, guess what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you have within you? You have the Holy Spirit within you. What's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit? It's to enlighten you about the Scripture. You know how powerful the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit's power is what raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the same power that is within you. So just saying, oh, I don't understand, that's not a good enough excuse. You've got to stand firm for your devotions every single day. Every single day. Something else that we need to stand firm on is prayer. Prayer is another thing that holds everything together. Again, this seems like a Sunday school lesson, but it's these basic things that we forget so often when we go out to the battlefield and all of a sudden we're faced with temptation and our pants fall down. Oh man, I forgot to read my Bible this morning. Oh man, I forgot to pray. Remember how we talked about Jesus in the wilderness? He quoted Leviticus from memory. He had his belt on. He had the truth. And he faced terrible, awful, great temptations. So when you're out there and you're standing firm, keep your pants up. I say that lightly and I kind of say that flippantly. But how do you do that? The basic things. Read your Bible and pray. Now listen, if you say, I don't know how to pray. The first thing you got to pray is, Jesus, teach me how to pray. And then just talk. Talk out loud. Sometimes talking out loud, going into a quiet room. Go into your closet. Talking out loud is something cool. Get on your knees. Once or twice a week, get on your knees and pray. And then something else too. Don't just talk. You gotta talk. Prayer is a two-way conversation. You got to listen. So if you're going to pray for 5 minutes, talk for three and listen for two. That's a good place to start. listening is super, super important, right? Ladies, be still and know, and be still and know that I am God, right? What does that mean? Sit down and shut up. I didn't preach that, for those of you who are visited. That was at the women's conference retreat. Be still and know that He is God. Pretty simple stuff to keep that belt of truth buckled around you. Real simple stuff. I want to reiterate from the beginning. These are the high points. We face attack and temptation every day. And you know what? This is part of the truth too. Part of the truth is reality. Sometimes I make fun of myself. Other people make fun of me too because I have like a 5-foot bubble. And I'm only aware of what's going on in my bubble. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be aware that we are under attack because that is reality. That's part of the truth. We need to be aware that the enemy comes against us and that he's a powerful enemy. But we need to know that our God is much, much more powerful than Satan ever is or could be. We have to remember that the enemy has schemes and a plan. And knowing that he has a scheme and a plan, this is something about being aware. How are you going to live your life differently? Okay, here's your challenge. My challenge to you today, how are you going to live your life differently knowing that Satan has a plan to come after you? How are you going to change what you do? Are you going to cling to the truth that holds everything together? Or are your pants going to fall down? Because you don't want to be defenseless when it comes to being attacked. You don't want to be defenseless when it comes to facing temptation. You know, so often I preach about how Jesus has drawn us to Him, how the Holy Spirit works in us and gives us strength, and we are God's children. He's called us to Him. But we have a responsibility as well. And we need to work. It says in Scripture, to draw near to God, He will draw near to you. That is part of our responsibility. So, really simple here today. My challenge to you, put on that belt of truth every morning because it holds everything together. Know you are a child of God. Know that Jesus Christ loves you. Read about Him in Scripture. Take 10 minutes to read every morning and take 5 minutes to pray and talk with Him every morning. Get that belt put on. Really, really simple. That's my challenge to you this morning. And stand firm. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much. And it's even some of these simplest things that we as grown-ups and that we as adults that we so often and easily forget that we need to be prepared for when the enemy comes against us. We need to be prepared for when our own physical bodies desire and lust after something. And even Paul himself described the difference of having the Holy Spirit and wanting to sin, but dying to sin. Because, dear Lord, dear Jesus, we do not want to sin willfully. For when we do, dear Jesus, we trample the cross under our feet. That is a terrible thing. But we know that You love us so, so much. I pray that You instill in me a heart, and in people's hearts here, a desire to grow closer and closer to You and remember and know and understand the truth that holds all this together. And that truth, when you break it right down, is You. We praise Your name, Jesus. And in Your good name we pray. Amen.